Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Perhaps the most thoughtless saying in our culture is, "Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me." Why? Because words are powerful. Words penetrate deep into the heart. Words can build up and words can destroy. Words can be filled with love or they can speak incredible hate. Words can express intense emotions or they can express a lack of caring. Think about a child's reaction to the praise of a parent for a job well done versus the teasing or the put down that same child must endure by a mistake or a weight problem or difficulty in school or maybe just not being good at all in sports. We all want justice and punishment for those who commit murder and destroy people's lives. But how often do we think about the times when we assassinate people around us and leave a path of destruction because of the way we use our tongues? Wives stab at their husbands with words that are sharp as daggers. Husbands lash out with tongues that cut and pierce. Parents have devastated their kids by repeated blast of venom, and children have exploded at their parents with volleys that have leveled a family like a bomb. And churches have been wiped out by an uncontrolled tongue that has sliced and diced and chopped people to shreds. It happens in the parking lot, in staff meetings, in cubicles at the office. It takes place in the car on the way to church, on the way to work, on the way to school. And it's done to your face and behind your back. And through this wonderful device that we call the internet, we have emails and blogs and social networking and all kinds of things. So this morning, I wanted to take a look at James chapter 3. And you can follow along in your Bibles or in your bulletin. As we look at chapter 3 of James, it is evident that James is writing to a people that had some serious problems controlling the damaging words that were coming out of their mouths, because it's a repeated theme throughout his entire letter. James talks about the tongue here because it is the primary vehicle of communication in his time. And I think if he was writing it today, he would probably have more to say than just about the tongue. He would probably write about emails. He'd probably have to write about blogs. He would have to write about all the internet modes of communication. For some reason, when we're behind a computer screen, people will say things that they would never say to someone face to face. And those words get posted on websites for everybody to read. And the emails that we thought were confidential will get forwarded to 100 people. And then they will go to 100 more people, and so on and so on. And the words can cut deeply. So, in verse 1, James warns the people to be careful about their eagerness to be teachers, because teachers are held to a stricter judgment. Teachers have a tremendous responsibility to be on guard with their words, but I also want to expand that narrow view of a teacher. It's not just someone that is in the classroom or in the pulpit. It is anyone who has authority over someone else, anyone who is responsible for the care and the nurture of someone else, anyone who models behavior to others. And then James establishes an important fact in verse 2. He says, "We all stumble in many ways." Each and every one of us. He is not pointing a finger at everybody else. He is also looking within. He is talking about our daily battle with the sinful flesh that we all must overcome. And he illustrates this concept with two pictures, a bit and a rudder. When you put a bit in the mouth of a horse, you can control the whole horse's body. Likewise with the tongue. Control the tongue and you can control the body. The same thing with a rudder of a ship. This tiny piece of equipment directs the entire course of a ship, either out of danger or right into harm's way. The tongue, it's a tiny piece of equipment that directs a course of an entire person's life, either out of danger or completely into harm's way. Understand that James is not calling for silence, but control. And that's where the struggle lies for us as Christians. You see, we live in a world that we have discovered that if we make fun of someone else, we tear them down or destroy their reputation, we can hide our own insecurities. If I convince myself that others are the problems, I never have to look within myself. And to make matters worse, society tells us to get them before they get you. So in verse 5 and 6, James tells us that our tongues can destroy whatever we have. Imagine a beautiful forest, tall trees everywhere. Now imagine in 1 minute it's up in smoke, completely destroyed instantly with a little tiny match. James says that our tongue can destroy just like that. We can lose it all. A careless camper can destroy an entire national forest overnight. And a careless word can destroy a life overnight. Thousands of lives. Gossip is like wildfire. It spreads quickly and creates havoc. I wonder how many people, because of their careless words, have destroyed their marriage, their career, their reputation, the reputation of another, their church, or a friendship. The tongue has not only the power to direct where we go, but it also to destroy what we have if we don't learn to control it. It is like a fire. In verse 6, James reminds us that words can create a chain reaction. He says, it corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself set afire by hell. You can say something that you didn't mean to have any harm, but it can have a devastating effect that's way beyond your control. Husbands come home from work, tired, grumpy, and cranky. The husband walks in and yells at the wife. The wife yells at the oldest kid. The oldest kid yells at the baby sister. The baby sister goes out and bites the head off the Barbie doll. It's a contagious and it spreads quickly and it can come out of control. Parents must realize the potential for words that they have for destruction. Our words can bring a form of death to our kids. We might not even realize that our words are doing to them. And sparks can fly in our homes. Firestorms can erupt, creating a blazing inferno that leaves deep and lasting scars. Do our words build up or do they tear us down? And verse 9 and 10 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We come to church on Sunday and we use our mouths to praise God. Then we walk out and get into our cars, and on the way home we argue about this and that and everything else. And in 1 minute we're saying praise the Lord, and the next we are welcoming anger, ridicule, sarcasm, and whatever it may be. The tongue is a strange contradiction. It is so inconsistent. I think about it. It's possible that we can be loving to people that we love and saying things of love, and the next moment be harsh, cold, and mean to them. How is this possible? How is it possible that 1 minute I could be talking to my spouse or my kids in a gentle, loving tone, and the next minute my tone has changed and my frustration level is at an all-time high, and I hurt them with my words? I am damaging their self-worth and their character. Do you struggle with an inconsistent tongue? James says that we all have it. We speak lovingly in one breath and then lash out in the next. What gives? What is the problem? Why do we do that? Why can we gently mean something in love and kindness in 1 minute and then in the next say something in hate? Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. It has the power of life and death in a marriage. It has the power of life and death in a family. It has the power of life and death in a friendship. It has the power of life and death among a professional colleague. It has the power of life and death in a church. And if you have a problem with the tongue, it's more serious than you think. It's a problem with your heart. Jesus says this in Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the overflow of the heart comes the mouth. Jesus explained this Freudian slip way before Freud ever existed. He said that what's inside of you is what's going to come out. My tongue just displays what I am. It directs where I go. It can destroy what I have. And most of all, it simply displays what I am. It reveals my character. Ouch, that hurts. Jesus is saying, it's not really the tongue or the mouth that is the problem. It is the heart. And what's coming out of my mouth is an indication of what's inside of us. We're not talking about a speech problem. We're talking about a spiritual problem. James is not trying to get us to act like followers of Jesus. He's not trying to get us to talk like followers of Jesus, where we clean up all the words that are coming out of our mouths. His passion and his desire is that our hearts would be transformed and changed by Jesus. The core of the issue is our hearts. And if God has your heart, the rest of the body will follow. If you are always working to solve your problems without ever looking within our hearts, then you are not dealing with the right issue. If you want to change your speech, if I'm going to refrain from using foul language, gossip, slander, and then putting the best construction on everything, if I'm going to encourage others and speak kind words, then I have to look right here at the heart. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, because it is in my heart. It is going to come out of my mouth. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27 says, "If I give you, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." Maybe this is something that we are all really struggling with, and we cannot do this alone. Willpower and positive thinking will not overcome it. We all need Jesus Christ's power and strength to win this battle. James wants us to understand that while the tongue has enormous power to do destructive damage, it also has an astonishing power to bless. I read a story about a pastor who was encouraging the congregation that if they were with someone who meant something to them, to turn and bless them with words of love right then. And the pastor said after the service, a big, strong, grizzly Adams-looking guy came up to him with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Thank you, Pastor. I was sitting next to my dad today, and for the first time in my life, I heard him say the words, 'Son, I love you.' For the first time, the words were meaningful to him. Those words were powerful to him. And just a few weeks later, his dad passed away. And as the pastor and this guy walked together away from the gravesite that day, he recalled that event to the pastor, and he said that he would carry it for him for the rest of his life, that significant blessing that his dad gave him that day in church when he said, 'Son, I love you.' And why? Because words are very powerful. So I challenge you to think about the name of a person and maybe write it down. Someone that you could bless this week with your words. Maybe it's a note or an email that you could write in a few minutes. But it would have a gift that keeps on giving that person for a lifetime. Is there a child whose soul that you could fuel up? Maybe it's your spouse whose whole week could be made different. Is there a colleague whose confidence that you could help build? Is there a teacher whom you could thank for making a class fun and interesting and really caring about you? And then from there, I would challenge you to give an encouraging word to everyone that you talk with every day. You'll have to probably be a little bit more deliberate in this. Tell your son or daughter something that will build them up. Teenagers, give a kind word to your parents. Siblings, say something nice to each other. Couples, affirm and encourage each other at least once a day. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." We need supernatural power to control our tongue. We can't do it on our own. We can't control it on our own. We need supernatural power. So we ask God to help us. We need God's grace in Jesus Christ. We need His forgiveness, His mercy, His strength, so that we can live, breathe, and speak His grace to those around us. Psalm 141, verse 3 reminds us that we need help outside of ourselves. And it says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." It's a great verse to memorize and quote every morning. And here I am paraphrasing it. God, put a muzzle on my mouth, guard my lips. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things that are flippant, sarcastic, or judgmental that I will regret. And ask God to help every day because we need His power in our lives. And as we seek God's help, we ask for a clean heart and we seek to use our tongues to bless. Hear the words from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." May God grant this to each one of us for Jesus Christ's sake, and to God alone be all the glory. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our service continues with the offering.